are now listening to Next on Scene. Next on Scene is tomorrow's scene today, from up-and-coming products, designers, talent, musicians, celebrities, you name it, we want to showcase it. Are you next? Get Next on Scene with Jay-Z today. Hello, Next on Scene. We are officially back, and we are going to be live very shortly with David Tutera, who is an awesome, awesome event planner. I have looked up to him for so many years. I'm sure you guys have seen him on TV. He does so many amazing events, from weddings to you name it, he can do it. So we're so excited to talk about wedding trends, things you can DIY, all of his new shoe line, jewelry line. There's so much to discuss. We are so excited to talk about it. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with David. All right, everyone, I officially have owner and designer on the line of David Tutera, the man himself, David. Hi, David, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited to have you on the line and share with our audience your amazing background, your current ventures, and all of that fun stuff. So tell us a little bit about how you got into the world of events.
Wow, it's it wasn't an intentional decision. I was actually fairly young. The age of 19, I was presented an opportunity to do a celebration for somebody, and I didn't even know that people got hired to put parties together for people, and I was incredibly fortunate to say yes to doing someone's child's bar mitzvah, which I find comical now since I was at the age of 19 and at the coming of age of the age of 13, and that really is what introduced me into the world of events and design. So I just took it from there, and I kind of grew my business as small as it was, which was out of the home of my parents, and began to expand it and began to take larger projects. And it was a long journey. I mean, it's, obviously many decades later, have a business and a career and a brand for the thanks of doing that one party, I guess.
I love it. So like one thing led to the other, which brought you to where you are now, which is so great.
It's true, and I think because of that happening at an early age, I had no fear. You know, I think as we get older, we second-guess and triple-guess ourselves before we move forward. So I've always learned to just take one step ahead of the next and take chances. You know, chances come failure, and failure comes success, and you learn from your mistakes. And I think that's what allowed me to always be a little bit more daring than most people.
I love it. That's great advice. You can't take, you can't know what happens unless you take chances, right?
This is true. Sometimes there's many more no's that get you to a great yes. So you cannot ever be disappointed. And you have to remain, for the business that I'm in, I have to remain consistently creative and on cutting edge and on trend. So it's, moving quick.
Right. And you're in the creative space. So you have to be on your toes, I feel like, at all times with coming up with new ideas and all of that fun stuff, right?
Yes, I think people now, more so than ever the past 10 years, expect whatever it is that I do to be, something new, something unseen, something unique, definitely memorable. I mean, it's a philosophy I've had since I started, but now the expectations are always risen to a different level.
Right. I love that. So was there somebody that you admired in the event industry that kind of aspired you a little further?
An interesting question that's often presented to me, and because I was 19 and I didn't know there was an industry of events, and quite frankly, back in 1986, there really was sort of this infantile stage of the business. So there were associations and networking meetings, but there wasn't one person I can say, oh my gosh, I want to be that person when I grow up. I eventually started to meet, a lot of the more successful and seasoned experts in the design industry, and I realized that I wanted to get to that point, but I didn't realize I wanted to be them. I always saw myself as becoming just a better version of myself, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, what better version than to improve yourself, from experience?
Nothing like competing against yourself.
Right. It's true, though. I love that. So what are you, obviously, being in the wedding world for so many years now, what are some trends that are going on? Name like top three trends for 2018.
I think simplifying the process of designing weddings. I've found and I've vocalized that your wedding is about, obviously, the celebration of you and the union with your partner, but I don't necessarily feel that there has to be this over application to making sure every area of your wedding is over designed. So many people for so many years were making sure the ceremony was off the charts, or there was an abundance of one item, and then you move to cocktails, and is there enough visual in cocktail celebration to keep people connected? And then you move obviously to your dinner and your celebration, and you know, you can continue that concept. And I find that more people today are more focused on their budgets, which I'm glad, because I think it's important. But I also don't see the need to overindulge in too many visuals that overstimulate the guests. So I guess what I'm saying is that the trend is keeping things more focused, more clear, more precise, so people can truly appreciate the choices that you've made, as opposed to being confused by there being too many things in one location.
Totally. Can you give a recent example of one that you've done?
Well, you know, I just did I can speak always to the most recent projects I've done, is that I did a three-day wedding, which was a destination wedding, and I wanted them to escalate from day one, two, and three. So starting smaller visually, both in food, in visuals, and in entertainment. So your first party, for example, was very welcoming, more about the destination, which was the island, and very laid back. Night two became a little bit more formal, still casual, but longer tables, family-style seating for 80 people, upgraded it from a DJ to a four-piece band, and created an environment that sort of was ramping up the following day, which was the ceremony, which was grand and epic, and the celebration was in a beautiful ballroom that was transformed. So you're on this journey, not just as a participating guest, but you're on this journey as a member of the celebration from the beginning to the end. And I think that's true for not just a three-day event, but you can take that formula and turn it into an eight-hour celebration and still create that moment where there's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
I love that. Do you find now destination weddings are more common?
Well, I will tell you that after this past season, with the crazy weather that our country has had and the destinations that were unfortunately devastated and hit,
true,
I think people are a little bit more gun-shy. I've had this conversation amongst a lot of people in the destination industry for celebrations, is that people are nervous now. It's just, everything is just so global warming and not being able to truly, you know, track the weather patterns. People are very concerned about destination weddings. I don't want it to go away. I respect and I honor the concerns that people have, because it's a lot of stress to have a wedding, let alone to worry about, will that venue be there, and will that venue be able to, you know, fulfill a backup plan, which is a, you know, at least to call it a rain plan. Now I just think it's a weather plan.
Right. That is so true. Those are really good points, though. But I feel like you have to, like, go on with your life, right? I mean, how else can you, I mean, you can't predict these things.
You can't. And you know, here's the thing. When you go to have a destination wedding and you work so hard to find somewhere that feels unique, so you have surroundings that are visually beautiful, from the landscape to the ocean to wherever you might be, and then you wind up in a ballroom of a property, the sadness of that is that that can be in your own backyard, and you flew and traveled and spent so money to get somewhere, that it becomes very disappointing to the couple and also to guests who were hopefully turning that celebration, that destination, into a vacation.
Right. So true. I've been noticing too, like, just from people that are in my age demographic getting married, but a lot of people that do destination weddings end up staying at the venue, and that's like their honeymoon. Do you find that to be common, or do people kind of do an actual honeymoon after that somewhere else?
I recommend to all my clients, if they're having a destination wedding, do not have your honeymoon that follows your wedding, because your guests sometimes linger and stay.
Right.
I would recommend that take a trip, leave the property, leave the memory of the wedding at that destination, and have a new memory of your honeymoon in a separate location. Or don't take a honeymoon and take a honeymoon a couple months later. There's nothing wrong with that.
I love that. That's great advice. It also, too, makes it separate. You know, like, your wedding was your wedding, but your honeymoon is, like, celebrating the after, right? Love it. So, of course, I want to talk about your shoe line and jewelry line. Congrats on those new ventures.
Thank you.
So, how did this all come about, and what are the latest styles for this season?
Well, it's funny. I was just sitting here working on designs. I'm excited about the jewelry line and shoe line, both of which is my, I always love accessorizing the bride, and to me, every detail is important from your toe up to your earrings. And my shoes are wonderful because I look at shoes for weddings as not a shoe that's so traditional in the sense that it looks like you would only wear it on your wedding day. It should be a form of fashion, an accessory that's trend forward. So my shoe line, you really can wear beyond the walk down the aisle. It's one of those moments where when you see a shoe kick under from the bottom of a gown, from the hemline, on a bride, it's exciting to see a pop of color, an addition of sparkle. It doesn't need to be diamond white. I'm working with a lot of metallics, which is very on trend for 18 and 19 in the continuation of fashion. So you'll see a lot of that in the different shoes, shoe designs, as well as, for me, it's about comfort and also about heel height. So we offer, I offer a combination of different heights in the heels so you can really feel comfortable when you're in those shoes all day, all night.
Right.
The jewelry line is being expanded with color. Brides are now looking, which I'm thrilled, brides are now looking for the infusion of colors, as in whether it be, you know, violet is our 2018 color, but whether it be violet or green or, you know, not just blush, but a brighter pink or canary yellow or sapphire or aqua. I'm incorporating that into the stones. So with the earrings and the bracelets and the necklaces, to me it's the final sort of touch. It's that almost picture frame around the perfect face is the jewelry. One of the tips I like to remind my girls when they're getting married is don't overdo jewelry. Just like you don't want to overdo your makeup, the jewelry should be a moment, not take over you as a woman.
Right. Well, that was going to be my next question. Like, do you recommend the simplicity of something very simple, like simple on the neck or and big earrings or big necklace? You know what I mean? Like, how do you decide? Obviously, it matters with whatever they're wearing. But what is your normal suggestion?
You do have to work from the chest up. So I always make the decisions based upon what the neckline is. So if you're wearing a sweetheart neckline, obviously you have the ability to wear a drop necklace. If you're wearing straps, I tend to stay away from necklaces and go with a heavier drop earring to focus the sparkle up towards your frame of your face. Off the shoulder, neckline can take both, actually. It can take earring and can take a necklace. And you always can be wearing a bracelet or stack bangles, which can be a great accent when you're not having a bouquet in your hand.
Right. That's such a great suggestion, too. I didn't even think about the bracelet stuff. That's awesome. So how did they come up with the trends, by the way, of the colors for, like, 2018? Because you were saying violet's the color of this year. Do you know how they even do that?
You know, it's been by just a group of people at the Pantone company, and they select their color. But I was very excited when they had announced it, because for the entire year of 2017, in every interview that I had been doing on weddings, I'm always asked, what do I see the color for the year ahead, and I predicted violet. I mean, I really literally did say that, and I was excited to know that that color was the choice of color for on trend for 18.
I love it. You just know it. It's like secondhand nature to you now, right?
You know, I think having done it for so long and being around and watching, you know, listen, fashion is always a regurgitation of what's been done in the past, redone in the future.
Of course.
With a twist or a turn, and I think that's true in the world of weddings, and it certainly is in the world of color, because, you know, we are adding shades to a Pantone color, but we're not necessarily making up new colors that don't exist.
Right. So true. That's so fascinating. You taught me something new today. I never knew that. Very cool. So let's play a little game so our audience can get to know you a little better. So I'm going to just ask a few quick questions and just give me some cool answers. So the first question is...
One-word answers?
No, it could be more than one word if you have more to say. I'm totally flexible, whatever you feel comfortable with. So when it comes to wedding planning, what is worth investing in that is a must-have for your special day?
You must have beautiful, epic music.
Oh, that's good. So, like, something that almost makes it worth you going on the dance floor, right?
But when I say epic music, not just for the dance floor, but music pulls on the heartstrings of emotion. So stunning music for your ceremony, music that changes for cocktails, that creates the momentum of ramping up for a party, and then obviously fabulous music to get people on the dance floor.
I love that. So like
literally the underscore of your emotion.
Right. Well, it's so true because it is such an emotional day. That's so true. And it is also different parts of the day. So you're setting the theme for the different parts of the day. Love it. Great one. So what is for something you for sure can do without on your wedding day?
Favors.
Really? No, I mean, that's really insightful because, I mean, I guess people just throw them out, right, if they're not going to use it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Overspent. I think if it's a great favor, it's a great favor, but when it's not, it's a waste.
Right. So can you give an example of a great favor that you've actually found to be useful?
Favors have to, my analogy or my description of a favor is it's the period of the last sentence of a book.
Right.
So your favor needs to follow through with whatever it is that you've chosen to design and tell the story of who you are as a couple, and not just a throwaway. So if it's, you know, your story is about, I don't know, you met in a restaurant and you had a favorite food, and maybe the ingredients of that favorite dish are dry ingredients that you're giving to a guest with the recipe of the food that you fell in love over, or a recipe of a cookie that you made together on your first date. Those things, to me, make a cute story and end the story to your wedding.
Right. And you can also eat them, you know, as you're leaving.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I love that. That's such a great... Thank you for that insight. That was great advice. So what is your opinion now? Everything is online when it comes to, you know, even people are doing save the dates now online, invitations. What is your theory on that?
Not a big online person for weddings. To me, I'm very traditional, and I find that, you know, I have a daughter who's four, and we get a lot of invitations online for birthday parties for children, and a lot of invitations for other guests, other friends that are having parties, birthday parties for adults. Weddings are a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and to me, if you get an invitation online, it's lessening the formality and the importance that we should feel as a recipient of an invitation. I also feel that when you get an invitation via email, it, to me, does not, I don't respond quick. I don't get excited with the joy to want to come to your celebration. So I'm a big on the online wedding.
No, I totally get that. I mean, I'm so the same way about feeling something that's tangible. You know, like, I feel like that is so, it's a more sentimental thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So what was one of the most extravagant weddings you ever planned? Where was it?
It was my wedding back in April here in Los Angeles.
Oh, congratulations. It was so recent. I didn't even know that. I love it.
Yeah, thank you.
Where did you get married?
We had our ceremony at our church in Hollywood, and then we had our black tie affair of 300 guests with an insane amount of entertainment and floral and everything at the Biltmore Hotel in downtown L.A.
Sounds amazing. What was the theme?
Old Hollywood. We took an epic turn of old Hollywood, and it was all white and black with embellishments of gold and silvers. It was quite beautiful.
Oh, my God. Love it. It sounds amazing. And what did your daughter wear?
Go online and check out the photos.
Oh, I'm totally going to do that when we're off air. I'm totally going to do that. What did your daughter wear?
She wore a custom gown that I created, and she was, I think, the bride, to be quite honest. She really, everything was exciting for her, and she just was the sweetest little angel that graced that space, and she was there the entire time she was with us.
Oh my God, I love it. That is so cute. Oh, congratulations, David. That's awesome.
Thanks.
I love hearing that. So, last question. If you were stranded on an island, what is something that you would have to bring with you? And why?
The Besides my daughter and husband?
Yes, besides, they would have to be a product.
I guess that would mean I'm not stranded then.
Okay, true.
What would I need to have with me? I would need to have... The one thing I would want to have is my sweets. I'm a sugar fanatic.
So am I. That's a good one. Is there any specific candy that you just can't live without?
No, I'm more like cake and pie and chocolate and not... I'm not a candy person, but I just... Oh, I forgot. I have to have my Starbucks.
Starbucks. That is a great one. What is your go-to Starbucks?
Oh my God. What's my go-to drink?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. You're going to... Don't judge. It is... Shots of Ristretto espresso on ice.
Oh, wow. That is a strong one. It must keep you going all day, though.
It does. It gets me through the day.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So I don't know if Rona told you, but I'm getting married in July. So I wanted to get some insight on flower ideas for the summer. Like, what kind of flower trends are good for, like, a beach setting for a wedding?
Is the wedding indoors or outdoors?
It's the ceremonies outdoors and cocktail hours outdoors, and then everything else is inside.
So July is an interesting month. What part of the country?
Connecticut.
Oh, wow. I'm from, I have a home in Connecticut.
So no way. I'm getting married in East Haven.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I know where you are. July is a tricky month when it comes to flowers because... You know, April, May, and June are, like, the best months ever for flowers. So when you slide into July, flowers become a little bit more iffy because of the heat, especially on the East Coast. The humidity makes it somewhat challenging to have flowers outside. So one of the flowers I happen to love, which is available in abundance in July, is lavender. So you can include lavender into bouquets, boutonnieres, and centerpieces. It's a small flower, but a great add-on, not a primary flower. Another strong flower, which I think could be really beautiful during that time of year, is hydrangea.
Oh, it's so pretty.
Come in abundance. Come in great colors. In July, oh my gosh, there is a antique, like, dove gray, lavender colored hydrangea, which I think is beautiful. And tulips are still available in July. Snapdragons, which are a little bit more vertical and less petal count. And as a good old-fashioned lover of roses, there's the, you know, garden roses, which have a higher petal count in the head of the flower, could be beautiful as well. And it's somewhat garden looking overall, but I'm not creating for you something that's too country looking.
Right.
More of a stronger romantic summer.
No, I love it. I love the color schemes too of your thought process. They sound beautiful. Thank you for the inspiration. I love it.
Oh, please use it if you can. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So it also for beach weddings, what is something that you find is like a must-have that you should include?
When someone's having a beach wedding, I tend to tell people not to assume the expected. Just because it's at the beach, you don't have to take the elements that are already organically there and use them into the design of your wedding.
Right.
So I tend to always say use the juxtaposition approach. Create something that looks like it wouldn't be at the beach.
Ah, I like that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Can you give an example?
Well, like the beautiful tablecloths, crystal on the table, or modern designs on the table, more clean and sleek. Avoid the sand, avoid the seashells, avoid the beach.
Right, because that's so cliche. Right, totally agree.
It's predictable, so.
Right.
You know, I remember years ago, I did a wedding in Connecticut, and I created I called it ballroom on the beach. It literally was, if you were to do a party in a ballroom in a hotel, and then take down the roof and the walls, it'd be surrounded by the beach grasses that exists in the ocean from the waterfront. That was my ballroom on the beach concept. And I use that analogy a lot because it doesn't mean you have to spend an enormous amount of money to do what I'm explaining.
Right.
It's just that unexpected moment in an unexpected location.
No, I really, really love that because I don't want that. Like, I'm not a cliche type of person anyway, so I love that out of the box thinking. It's great. Yeah, thank you for that insight. That's awesome. So I know you're also doing a bunch of DIY projects. We just shared your awesome mask that you did for New Year's Eve, which was so cool. Thanks for the insight on that. What is trending for Valentine's Day? What are you going to be doing for that?
Ooh, you caught me off guard. I just finished Christmas.
That's what I'm here for, isn't it?
What's that?
That's what I'm here for, to throw you off guard, surprise you.
No, that's a great question. God, the person I should be asking is my daughter when she gets home from school. She's my new motivation for inspiration.
I love it.
What am I going to be doing for Valentine's Day? I mean, I'm so traditional with the hearts and the be mine and forever love. You stumped me out of all questions from our interview. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Don't even worry. We have time. If you come up with an idea, I'll throw it in the blog. Don't even worry about it.
Okay, great.
David, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for your insight. So we did have two questions that were submitted, and I did want to ask you them. So one is from Jamie Chalaki, and she asked, what do you do to stay calm in the moments of chaos or panic when something might go wrong during a wedding?
She actually answered her question with her. She answered her question with her question. It's basically when the chaos happens, which it will. You do need to stay calm. You need to take a step back physically and emotionally, because it's very easy for a couple to become present in that chaotic moment, and then it can ruin the rest of your day.
Right.
So I always just tell couples, or even if they have to take two steps backwards and then two steps apart, or just take a walk somewhere and let the chaos remain chaotic and just simply realize it's just not my moment. I cannot control the situation. This is my day, and I'm not going to let this affect me.
I love it.
Hopefully, you will have some support system in place, which is, whether it be a friend or someone in your wedding party, who can step in and divert whatever issues are taking place and not fill you in on what's happening so you're not part of it any longer.
Right. Because, I mean, you said it perfectly. It's completely out of your control at that point, you know?
When your wedding day starts, you need to be on automatic pilot, and you have to detach from every single thing that you have worried about for the process of planning. Literally detach for the day.
Right.
Become a guest at your wedding.
Oh, I like that analogy. That's great. I'm so going to do that for mine. Was that hard for you, being a planner?
No, I'm actually very good at it. When I had my wedding, I was literally, I can't say I was, you know, calm during the planning of it, but the day of our wedding, I remember every moment of the entire morning, noon, and night, and it was being so there, so present, so connected. It was amazing.
I love it. That's great, great advice. Thank you for that. So our next question is from Suze Cosmos, and she is having a house party, and she wants to know, do you recommend signature drinks, or is wine okay?
If you can afford to, with your budget, have one signature drink and also wine, because not everybody drinks wine.
Exactly.
And also, many people don't drink signature drinks. So I think that having one specialty drink that either matches the color scheme of your home or is kind of cute and memorable because of your personality, and then offer the wine, I think that that's a fun approach, and also I think will help with the overall budget.
Good point. And then you're catering to all different types of people, too.
Correct.
Right. No, great insight. Yay. Well, thank you so much, David. This has been so great. So tell everyone how they can follow you on social media and get in touch for any inquiries.
Well, it's really simple. My website's davidtutera.com. All my social media is my name, whether it be on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest. Always posting different things to different social outlets. And if you're in the business and you want to check out the David Tutera Event Planning Symposium to learn more about the industry, that'll be happening in April in Santa Monica, California. I would highly recommend this experience with myself and many speakers that will be there for 3 days.
That's exciting. Sorry to interrupt really quickly, but are your jewelry, where is your jewelry and your shoe line? Where can people get it?
The jewelry line is, if you go on to davidduterraembellish.com or davidduterra.com, there's a locator, so you can just put the zip code in and it'll tell you where you can find it closest to you. And the shoe line is launching now. It will be at Ben Maurer, Nordstrom's, and DSW.
Amazing! So, so exciting. All right, so everybody just has to go to davidduterra.com to get all of their needs met, right?
You got it. You'll get everything there, and it'll disperse you wherever you need to go.
Awesome. Love it, love it. Well, thank you again so much, David, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Next on Scene, and stay tuned for who's next on scene. Thanks so much for tuning in to Next on Scene. Are you next? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us at getseen@jzsocialenterprises.com. Get social with us at JZ Social Enterprises on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And are you next? Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Stay tuned for who's next on scene.